Welcome to Political Coffee, your one-hour thought-provoking news and commentary as you begin your day. And now, here's your host, Jeff Krupp.
Yeah. Everything's on. Yeah, I don't know what's going on there. Haven't touched anything. Okay. All right. Technology is great until it doesn't work. Anyway, welcome, friends. It's Political Coffee. This is the show where we talk about the political issues of the day, whether they're national, international, right here in Oregon, or locally. We talk about them in a manner that helps you, well, change your world if you want to. Help persuade the persuadable, those people that you can help lead to that point where they decide they need to change how they think about things or their political allegiances. The whole reason I do this show. Here's what we're talking about today. The Porculus Bill. Trump may veto it, but not overtly like he's going to do the defense appropriation bill, but rather by the pocket veto. I've explained how that works, and if you're just joining us for the first time, here's how it works. The Constitution says the president's got 10 days to sign a bill presented to him by Congress. Well, Congress has to present to him this massive, incredibly wasteful bill, the COVID relief extension of the operation of government bill. Yeah. They have to present it to him by 1 second before midnight tonight. And it doesn't look like they're going to meet that deadline. Why? Because the bill is so big and so massive, almost 6,000 pages, that the process of actually in what's called enrolling it, making it official, making it so it all works, takes time. And they had a little computer glitch, and they couldn't get it done. I wonder if that was maybe, I hate to speculate this, but did that just happen by coincidence? Or maybe that was a planned computer glitch? Or maybe by Trump, who knows? Somebody in the deep state that actually likes Trump. And, you know, maybe one of them non-existent programs, the CIA says, like Hammer Scorecard, which a federal judge has said actually does exist. Maybe a true patriot in the deep state used one of them. It just sort of caused a computer glitch. Because if they can't get it to the president for him to sign by 1 second before midnight tonight, he can just let it expire and not sign it at all under the Constitution, because that would be the time frame that he could do that. Congress wouldn't have enough time to come in and override a veto, because at midnight on January 3rd, the current session of Congress and all of the bills waiting to be signed that they've passed, they all die. Because a new session of Congress then has to begin at 12 midnight. That's a pocket veto. And that's what President Trump can do. Also, we talked about Mike Pence, the Pence card, having to do with him having the sole discretion, folks. And I mean sole discretion. To determine whether a state electors meet the constitutional requirement. And if they do not, according to his analysis and understanding, he can let the secretaries of state know starting today that they have each of these six battleground states where the elections are heavily questioned, both by evidence that's been released publicly and evidence that will be heard that has not been heard in any trial yet. That based on his viewpoint of that, that they have to send that their electors they sent to him do not qualify, are not permissible under the U.S. Constitution. He has to let them know now and give them a chance to change the electors, to fix it. How do they do that? Through all of those six states, all have Republican legislatures, Democrat governors in most of them. Now, Arizona has Republican legislature and Republican governor, but the Republican governor there is basically a John McCain person. I used to like him. I don't anymore. Doug Ducey. He certified fraudulent electors, and he knows it's fraudulent. But most of the other states have Democrat governors. Now, I know Georgia has a Republican governor, but Brian Kemp. Anyway, the legislatures have the sole plenary power under the U.S. Constitution to fix it, not the governors. Now, we'll see, because they'll contest that. These governors of the Democrat states would contest it. You know that. But the point is this. Beginning today, Mike Pence has the ability to play the Pence card, to tell those six states, secretaries of states, you do not have legal, constitutionally permissible electors presented to me. You must rectify that by January 6th. If you do not, I will not certify those electors. That means January 6th. That the House and the Senate must choose Donald Trump because he would have the higher number of electors in those six states. If those six states were excluded, Donald Trump wins. That's what we're talking about. Also, a few other things, including, by the way, the pocket veto. This is an interesting thing for you to know, and I'll get to that in a moment, but I want to remind you, if you've never called a radio talk show host, this is a great opportunity for you to do that. And it's really easy. Just pick up the phone and call 503-589-1220. That's the Power Buick GMC talk line, 503-589-1220. And you can call. And I'll give you an opportunity to talk about these things. Now, if you've never done it before, understand that you need to stick to the issues that we're talking about today. Also, Oregon Senator Dallas Hurd, Republican from Roseburg, stood up and blasted an illegitimate legislative session yesterday. Why? Because of the fact that they chose to literally shut the people out. And they didn't need to, friends. In fact, my friend Mark Cosby, whom we interviewed yesterday live on the show, who was at the melee at the Capitol, he wrote me what he wrote to the lawless legislators, as he calls them. He sent this letter to Peter Courtney, Jenny Burdick of the Senate, Tina Kotek, who's Speaker of the House, and his state representative that he refers to as an idiot, Marty Wilde. He says, congratulations on violating your oath to uphold the Constitution. A useless paper anyways, right? Third special session seems to come with the privileges just as Antifa and BLM get while trashing our neighborhoods across the state. Surely 200 people... those are the numbers of the people that were out protesting yesterday in front of the Capitol. Surely 200 people could have been allowed in the Capitol in accordance with ORS 192-630 sub 1 and sub 2. This is actually the ORS that says, yeah, the people have to come in. He continues, you people must not go to stores if you couldn't find overflow rooms for Oregon citizens, thus violating your rights. Just maybe... you let someone else do your shopping as stores run at 50%, churches at 25%, under an unconstitutional mandate from the governor. Maybe you should have voted to extend her executive orders with a rubber stamp from the legislators. Well, we're a few months past that one, too. He says, I support the police, yet they could have treated people better at the door. as things evolved, a few people decided that if Antifa and BLM can act up in civil disobedience, they might as well bust a door glass on a video so they could be arrested. Trust me, I have been on the side of the building the police would want to have got what was left of them. 98% of the crowd probably have never even been at the Capitol. Write the above off as a total failure of governance. You and yours provoked four people that got arrested. That said, on 3/25/2016, a rally was held by a group of people at the War Memorial. I worked with Stephanie Ingraham, top cop at the Capitol at the time. She had another event on the steps of the Capitol. They were Democrats, and among them came Antifa, who, when they came to harass us at the War Memorial, were blocked by Salem and the Oregon State Police personnel. It was a noisy mess, and soon people were pushing and shoving. I've never encountered any of the games. Later, as we dispersed, we heard that the columns on the front steps had been vandalized. Yep, I took pictures. Folks, remember, this was 2016. I took pictures. And the Democrat in charge says we didn't know what to do because Antifa father and son just came up and did it. Well, boo-hoo. And a policeman was surely in eyesight, and they could have clued him in as... Anyways, video was obtained and arrests were made. I sent every legislator emails and a picture of the damage. I got three replies. Then I made 100 flyers and dropped them at every office in the building. Long and short of it, Kate Brown wanted the charges dropped. Well, maybe you ought to see that. This dumb blank that kicked the window in is not charged for the damage. After all, these clowns were provoked because you violated your oath of office and would not let us in. Now, that's from a friend of mine who I interviewed yesterday. It doesn't mince any words. At what point do we, the people, stand up and say, okay, what you're doing is illegal, unconstitutional, and enough of us show up, like maybe the Timber Unity events with all the tractors and the trucks? Maybe that's what we need to do more of. Mm-hmm. Take 20 back in a moment.
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
Stop the car. 22 minutes past the top of the hour, this segment of the show is brought to you by Gabe and Paige Smith of Realty One Group, Willamette Valley. They are real estate agents. You know, their theme is ready to go above and beyond to serve you. They mean it, folks. They really do. And they do just exactly that. And I will tell you that as a guy who sold a farm with a very nice home on it outside of Sublimity a couple of years ago, the importance of having a real estate agent who really does go be above and beyond for you, I cannot overstate it. And if you're seriously thinking about maybe selling your home or maybe buying a place that is just right for you, fits you, and somebody who's going to work hard to make that happen for you, you really ought to talk to Dave and Paige Smith. Because they're serious about doing what's necessary, going above and beyond for you. Give them a call, 503-939-7099. 503-939-7099. It's Dave and Paige Smith of the Realty One Group, Willamette Valley. Pocket vetoes. And, Herman, hang on. I'll get to you in a moment. We'll get Herman, the German's thoughts on all of these things. The pocket veto process. You have to have to override a president's veto. Now, this article that I'm reading here says that it is impossible to override a pocket veto. Why? because the clock runs out. You have to start all over, folks. You can't just override a piece of legislation that has expired because the president didn't sign it. Because your legislative session, in my case here in Oregon, when I served in the House of Representatives, or in Congress, when the congressional term expires, it's done. The bill is done. It's over. That's why it's impossible to override a pocket veto. There have been, since 1789, in the Senate, there have been 1,484 regular vetoes. Only 106 of them have been overridden. It's not even 10%. Of the 106 vetoes, 40% have been pocket vetoes. And that was from 1789 till 2004. That's from the American Presidency Project. Now, you need two-thirds of the House and the Senate because both houses have to override. If one doesn't, then it doesn't get overridden. The veto stands. But let's say you got two-thirds. Well, you really got to focus on the Senate. The way the House is right now, they might be able to buy off enough Republicans to override in the House side. That would be a lot. On the Senate side, you need 66 votes in the Senate side to override a presidential veto. Now, you have to get past the 60-vote filibuster procedural vote to even to get to that point. But let's say you did that. You would still need 66. Well, there's only 48 Democrats. That means you'd have to get a lot of Republicans, like 18 of them. Could you? I don't know. You might. But that's if Trump vetoed this porculous bill before it expires. I don't think he's going to have to. I think it can be done by the pocket veto. Let's go to Herman the German. Herman, good morning. What do you say today?
Morgan, mein Freund.
Ah.
Yeah, I want to bring the conversation back to these Polizei. I got a ticket in Woodburn there. A camera got me. It was kind of a sleepy Sunday, and I made a turtle turn. It was not a California stop, but I have to say I did not quite stop, but it was a turtle turn, a turtle stop. I was so slow, but that camera said I was moving. So now I'm facing like $250. Now, some 10 years ago, I was given a ticket here in Molalla, and I passed two cars on the right because it was all jammed up with cars, and I got a $450 ticket. And I said to the officer, for such a trivial thing, why would I get such a high ticket? And he said, oh, you have a nice day now. And he jumped on his motorcycle. He ran around town. It was Friday night. Molalla was in debt. They needed money. Well, the legislature, it's not me, it's the police so much. The legislature makes these laws. Fine these people. It don't matter if they're only getting a few dollars a month. They're self-employed or little old ladies. They're tyrants. I did something about it.
What'd you do?
I paid the dirty beggars.
What did
you do? And I went to North Dakota.
Oh. Okay.
I got out of Oregon.
But you're back in Molalla now, right?
Pardon?
But you're back in Oregon now?
Well, I get kind of homesick and, Heimweh, they call it Heimweh.
Okay.
And it's awful cold there in North Dakota, and it's a lot better out here.
So you just left the state of Oregon to protest. You just left, got out of here.
Yeah, you know, at that time I felt so angry and helpless, and it was like they say in the state of Virginia, the motto is "Sic semper tyrannis." And
yeah, by the way, my recommendation to you, Herman, is that on this current ticket you got, go throw yourself on the mercy of a court. Just explain it. You'll probably have to pay it, but maybe not all.
Well, I think that Officer Seeley, he will have mercy on me. I'll tell him it was
there. You go.
Darn.
There you go. It's 8:30. Got to let you go. Back in a moment, friends. Lots more to go. Don't go over. Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp. Stop the car. 24
minutes to the top of the hour. In a moment, we'll chat with Super Dave. If you do want to call, and maybe you've never called a talk show host before or a call-in program to sound off on something that's just bugging the heck of a, that we're talking about today. Could be the Porculus bill that Trump is probably going to pocket veto, because it doesn't have enough money for you. Has $1,800 per person for illegal aliens, but $600 for you. Plus hundreds of million, just billions of dollars. $135 million to Burma, $85 million to Cambodia, $1.4 billion for the Asia Reassurance Initiative Act, $130 million for Nepal, $3.3 billion for Israel, as much as we love them. How about $4 billion for Navy weapons procurement, $2 billion for Space Force, $2 billion for Air Force missiles? How about $208 million to upgrade the Census Bureau's computer systems? How about $40 million for the Kennedy Center? How about money to discourage teenagers from drinking and having sex? How about $193 million for federal workers that live in foreign countries that are working on HIV/AIDS preventions? $193 million for them to buy cars and car insurance. And the cherry on top has to be the Feminist Museum. Yes, there's money in there for a new Feminist Museum. Plus, there's also in there a commission. Creates a new commission that is tasked with educating consumers about the dangers associated with using or storing portable fuel containers for flammable liquids near an open flame. You have got to be kidding me. Most of this is pork that comes as payoffs for buying votes. Something that the legislator, who's usually nameless, gets to go back and to say, look at the wonderful thing I did for you. Please vote for me again so I can get backdoor deals, so I can make money, so I can get a big, so my wife can establish a little consulting agency and magically just get consulting gigs with companies that do business or have business or would benefit from legislation I'm working on in my committee. Now, that would never happen, would it? Also, this is a most interesting thing. Acting Secretary Department of Defense Chris Miller, remember this from a day or two ago? He thanked Vice President Pence for his efforts in the most complex military operation in history. Chris Miller, folks, is a former Green Beret, a real serious combat veteran.
what in the heck is he referring to? Could it be Pence's efforts in the getting a vaccine done right away? Is that what he's referring to? Would the military was involved in that? No, I think it's something else. Also, an interesting article in the Gateway Pundit is the president signed an executive order giving John Durham the authority to present classified information to grand juries investigating Crossfire Hurricane. That had to happen because the DOJ wasn't letting it happen. Another reason that it's probably good that Bill Barr is gone. Mike Pence, the Pence card, we talked about that. If you missed it, the vice president has the sole discretion to determine if a state's electors meet the constitutional definition of electors and are permissible under the Constitution. He is the sole person. He has information to on intelligence that Congress doesn't, and certainly the states don't, and certainly governors don't. If it is determined with evidence presented to him that there is election fraud based on foreign interference from President Trump's, you know, that little old executive order he signed in 2018 that was renewed recently. He has information about that. He can say he has information about that. He can say that he notifies those secretaries of states in six battleground states. Based on information I have, your electors are not permissible under the Constitution. You must send me a slate of electors that are permissible. And you have from today, December 23rd, you have between now and January 6th to get that done. That's a pretty powerful thing. I did not know that until today. Now, having said that, the question is, will Mike Pence do it? 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. Should he do that? That's the other question. Send me an email to jeff@1220.am, and I'll do my best to read it on the air. Super Dave, how are you, brother? Good to hear your voice.
Hey, Jeff. Yep, I've been listening a lot and stuff, and I just know one thing. I say, at least for 20 or 24 years, the Democrats are not going to have this. God has a handle on it. He threw down the gauntlet, and things are going to be happening that you know, and that it's going to be so surprising to everybody, it's unreal. But after said that, now, all the stuff like Pence and stuff, if he does, good, great. You said something about the 28th. You said something about something could happen on the 28th.
The 29th is when Mitch McConnell has said, and I saw the story in the Hill, Mitch McConnell said he probably will call the Senate back anyway to override the president's veto on the defense appropriation bill. That is not this pork COVID bill. That's a different thing.
Okay, on the 28th, is that correct?
29th.
You said the 29th, but 28th, the president was going to do something.
That's his last day, I think, that he has to veto that bill, is the 28th.
All right. So,
yeah,
I know,
because that bill was
that
enrolled
path,
and presented to him a few days ago.
I hope so, because that'd be my great birthday present.
Well, happy birthday, Super Dave, a little early, but that's okay.
That's it. That's it, boy. That would be a good one right there.
Well, no, let me ask you this. What do you think of the president?
Yeah.
You know, he did this 4 minute. He did two speeches last night, by the way, and the one of them was 4 minutes where he talked about widespread fraud and asked the people to stand up and to stop the theft. He's saying that he wants people
to come to D.C. on January 6th, that day of the joint session. He says, be there. It'll be wild.
There. And I agree with the president. God has a handle on that man. And if people don't know and realize that, I feel sorry for you guys. Because things are going to happen that you're just going to be at awe. Let's put it that way. And the thing is, when it comes down to it, that hey, by all means, I love the both speeches. It was fantastic. He's telling people exactly what's happening and what's going on. Does anybody else do it on the Democratic side? I don't think so. They don't do anything. They just keep it tucked under their wing and just, you know, read it after you sign it. Yeah, right. Uh-huh. That really makes sense. But I don't know. I'm glad that he's going to be, if it comes to that, I mean, I have not the knowledge of what's going to be happening, but I know the end game, and it's going to be awesome out there. It's going to be awesome for the Christian people out there. It's going to be people that are coming to God that it's going to be awesome and stuff. And the thing is, there's one other thing I need to ask you.
Sure.
Can I yield my time to Art, or is that not in the deal?
No.
just joking.
No, now that this show has expanded to 3 hours, at least for a while, Super Dave.
Yeah.
You know,
okay.
Cause I'm not going to be able to do 3 hours once I get into the heavy part of farming. I don't have the time.
I know, you know, but I'm going to tell you something, and probably everybody agrees with me, that if you don't become governor, we really would like you out there for about a few hours, you know, not this 1 hour stuff. It's just not enough. I can't get enough of you. Matter of fact, Glenn Beck is not even in the picture. Usually I go back, listening to Glenn Beck, and I've been just listening to you. So, I hope that helped you out a little bit in your ego.
I deeply appreciate it. You know, maybe if I can't do 3 hours, I can maybe do 2 hours a day.
That would be great. You know,
I don't know if I can do 2 hours. I wouldn't be able to do 2 hours a day through the heat of busyness of summer harvest.
Not with you with your family and stuff. No. That's
yeah,
not what I'm saying,
I mean, it,
but see the people.
I mean, I'm divorced.
More.
It's just me and a cat now. So, you know, I'm running the farm all by myself because of my father's death.
Yeah.
So, maybe I can do 2 hours extended until I get into the, you know, from June through the finishing of combining season in July.
If you ask everybody out there, they would appreciate it. Really, I'm serious. I am serious. The heart attack there. That it's fantastic. We love you out there talking and that stuff. 1 hour is just not good enough to me.
Thank you, friend.
2 hours,
I am
okay.
Deeply honored by that. I appreciate it. Thank you, Super Dave, and happy Earthing.
You bet.
Early
you take
birthday
care,
to you. That's 8:48, folks. Back with one more segment for today. Don't go away.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
10 minutes till the top of the hour. The last segment for today, anyway. Quick programming note for you. Tomorrow's Thursday, I'll have a guest on with me, David and Amanda Vital. They are the folks that held the Salem Awakening event every night for 3 months or better down at the Riverfront Park in Salem. Every night, worship and prayer with various churches participating. All of it to make a difference, to give people hope in their lives. We're going to talk with them about how Antifa now has been threatening them and intimidating them when they do their once a month praise and worship in front of Planned Parenthood.
or they kill babies. You don't want to miss that tomorrow. Liberty Daily is saying there's an unexplained explosion and a fire that has destroyed the world's second largest pharmaceutical factory, producing precursors for, guess what? Hydroxychloroquine. Now that the FDA has magically said, hey, hydroxychloroquine can work to prevent the COVID death or problems if it's done right. Funny how that is. Coincidence? Probably not. 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am. Got an email and a text from a state employee who shall not be named. No, you did not miss the phone numbers for Kurt Schrader, Wyden. I'm going to give them to you right now. Congressman Kurt Schrader's Salem office, and the whole purpose of giving you all of these phone numbers, by the way, is simply this. I'm going to ask you to call these senators and these congressmen, their local offices, and ask them to vote on what would have to be a new COVID bill, one that does gives at least $2,000 per person, number one. Number two, that helps small businesses and get rid of all the pork in it. Congressman Kurt Schrader, 503-500-9100. I need to check that. That doesn't sound right. Congressman Peter DeFazio, 541-465-6458. That's his Eugene office. 541-465-6458. Senator Ron Wyden, his Salem office. 503-583-4555. 583-4555. Senator Jeff Merkley, his Salem office. 503-362-8102. 8102. By the way, I want to thank Eric Azer at Righteous Renovations. And a new caller I'll get to you. Call back. You still got a minute or two. Call back. Eric Azer, RighteousRenovations.com. Go to his website and look at the before and after pictures and the great testimonials of satisfied customers. You can see what it is that he does. As a construction contractor, you can trust. There's bathroom remodeling, kitchen remodeling, tile work, window and door trim, door and window installations, deck and fences. RighteousRenovation.com or call him 503-341-3816. 341-3816. Rich, let's go to Rich. Rich, good morning. What do you have to say today?
Morning. I agree with Super Dave. I'd like to see you on for at least another hour when you can, because it really helps out on knowing what's going on the home front here. It helps out tremendously. And that's about all I got. So, Merry Christmas. Happy
well,
New
thank
Year.
You, friend. I appreciate that. And Merry Christmas to you. Programming note also, we're not going to be live on Christmas Day. We'll be playing a best of show. So if you got nothing else to do on Christmas Day, we'll have 3 hours of either tomorrow's show or a show for the last couple of days, just because we want to stay consistent. But we will be live tomorrow on Christmas Eve. I look forward to having those conversations with you. Friends, I want you to think about that commercial you heard over the break from Donald Trump, the president, and what he said. I don't even recall Ronald Reagan talking about Jesus and Christ that way. I mean, do you remember that? I don't. Maybe he did, but I just don't remember it. I have to tell you, I've said this to you before, and I mean it. I just was thought that Donald Trump's presidency when he came down the golden escalators in 2015 was a joke. I really did. I laughed. I could have not been more wrong. in so many ways. He's turned out to be a far more conservative president than I ever imagined that he would govern in that manner. I think in many ways even more conservative than Ronald Reagan was. I want you to think about what you heard in that message. And imagine why you would put yourself in his mindset. Why would you say something like that at the end of your presidency? You don't need to. If you don't really mean it, why would you say it to begin with? You have nothing to gain. Nothing to gain by it. He's not going to get reelected again. Let's hope he gets reelected the way this all plays out, but you have nothing to gain. Why would you say that if you didn't mean it from your heart? Now, has Joe Biden said anything like that? Can you even imagine Joe Biden saying something like that? I would hope that he would. And I mean that sincerely. I don't think Joe Biden's an honorable man. I think he's corrupt. But I would hope that he would come to his senses. And I would hope that he would embrace a message about Christ and Christmas that is believable. Because frankly, this one by Trump is. He didn't have to do that, but he did it. He doesn't need to do it to gain any political advantage. He did it because he means it. Intentions are one thing, but your actions that come from the heart is quite another. And that's what Donald Trump did. Friends, as we complete this day, I want to encourage you to continue to pray. Yes, even for not just Donald Trump and for the wisdom of judges and for legislators that are going to have to recertify electors, I'm pretty convinced. And I'd also pray for Mike Pence. But I want you to join with me in praying for Joe Biden, and that's not easy for me to do either. And I want you to join with me in praying for the Oregon legislature, the leadership there, and all the members that serve, but including Kate Brown, which is also very hard for me to do. They need prayer. They need a lot of it. Friends, remember to pray. Be strong in your faith. Don't grow weary. Keep believing and keep being active. Call Kurt Schrader, Peter DeFazio, Ron Wyden, and Jeff Merkley. Tell them they need to fix this thing and get rid of the pork. I'll be back tomorrow, friends. Get out there. Make it a great day. It's really up to you. See you tomorrow.